Pentecost, May 31st, 2020. The Spirit comes. The text, John 7, verse 39. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Who here would disagree that the first goal of God in sending the Holy Spirit to us was to give us life eternal? This message will find another goal than life. Last week we celebrated Ascension when Jesus rose up into a cloud out of the disciples' sight. Today we celebrate Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descends from heaven to earth. At first reading, one gets the impression that the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to be far more obvious than was the presence of the Messiah. Jesus was born in a stable, was a carpenter for some 30 years, died the death of a criminal, and for his last act, floated up into a cloud. 10 days later, the promise that the second helper would come was fulfilled. Unlike the beginning of Jesus' appearance on earth, the Holy Spirit came with some clear fanfare and evidence. First, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, which even the multitude outdoors heard. Second, divided tongues of fire sat upon each of those disciples who were seated together in a room. Third, there was a miraculous speaking in tongues. As an aside, this speaking in tongues did not consist of some angelic language or heavenly gibberish, as is so common with some charismatic groups these days. Instead, the tongues spoken were known foreign languages of those people who had come to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. That was a holy day of the first fruits of the harvest, with the hope that much more would be harvested. Because the coming of the Holy Spirit did take place with these obvious signs and wonders, some Christians have concluded that unlike the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be more spectacular, with greater miracles and evidence. In fact, there are some Christians who teach that unless you receive the gift of speaking in tongues, you either are not a Christian or you have not matured to the level that you need in order to be considered a spiritual believer. Of course, while we reject such teaching that the kind of gibberish tongue speaking is necessary to be saved, we do need to understand whether the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that different from the ministry of Jesus. First of all, recall that Jesus' ministry also was involved with miraculous signs and miracles. He healed people, fed over 5,000 people at one sitting, and even raised people from the dead. Yet, for those who did not believe that he was the promised Messiah, these miracles were considered as works of the devil. We fool ourselves into thinking that the coming of the Holy Spirit was any more obvious to the unbeliever than was the coming of Jesus into the world. While some at Pentecost asked, "Whatever could this mean?" when they heard the disciples speaking in the foreign languages of those from Egypt, Crete, and Arabic countries, others concluded, according to verse 13, they are full of new wine. And guess how, according to verse 41, 3,000 people were saved that day. They were brought to faith the same way Jesus brought people to faith, by word and sacrament. Peter began his sermon with, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass In the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. After hearing that they had crucified the Messiah, the people were cut to the heart and asked, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Note well that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is no different than that of Jesus. We know that our own moral works cannot help us to be saved. What needs to be underscored is that apparent spiritual miracles present on Pentecost only became signs to those who were already saved. For that which the Holy Spirit used to convert unbelievers to faith was the same kind of preaching that Jesus had used on the road to Emmaus. Rather than make himself visible to the two disciples as the risen Christ, he instead preached to them from the Old Testament that the Messiah had to die and rise again the third day. What implications does this understanding of Pentecost have for us today? First of all, it speaks to this congregation about pastors. Keep in mind that the work of ministry at Emmanuel does not consist of miracles and wonders done by pastors, but by a proper preaching of the word and administration of the sacraments. All the Holy Spirit needs to create and increase faith are under-shepherds who provide teaching and preaching according to God's word, and sacraments according to Christ's institution. While the world will regard the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper as superstitious mumble-jumble, the church believes that through baptism, even infants are removed from the kingdom of Satan and adopted into the kingdom of God, and that in the Lord's Supper, we receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. So also, in your personal lives, the Holy Spirit is present, even though at times you may have serious doubts. We may wish that the presence of the Holy Spirit is more obvious than he appears, but the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ is just as real and present as the kingdom of God in the Holy Spirit. While Christian lives do not seem to be that different than the lives the world lives, be aware of the fact that you not only are members of the kingdom of God here on earth, but are receiving the fulfillment of the promises of help, comfort, and aid through the Holy Spirit. The ministry of both Jesus and the Holy Spirit has the same goal. And what is that goal? Your death. Yes, your death is the goal of both Jesus and the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by that? The death we speak of is certainly not the eternal death that is spoken of in the curse of the law, namely, that, quote, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die, unquote. That death has been overcome at the cross of Jesus Christ for those who believe in him. Nor are we speaking of the temporal death that takes place when we leave this veil of tears. For the Christian, such a death is the door to being with Jesus. Then, what death is the goal of the ministries of Jesus and the Holy Spirit? The death of the old Adam within each of us since our conception. And that death takes place through the Word of God, as Jesus said in John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." Law and gospel. That is the ministry of the Holy Trinity. The law is used to kill us and convince us that we have nothing to offer God to merit our salvation. And the gospel is preached to save us and convince us that God has done everything for us to inherit our salvation. What Christ gave us was his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead to remove from us the curse of the law. What the Holy Spirit gives us is the assurance that all who believe in Jesus will never perish. We may not recognize the works of the Holy Spirit as greater signs and wonders than those of Jesus. Be aware, though, that through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit not only brought you to faith, but also sustained you in the one true faith forever and ever. And that's the difference that Pentecost makes. Amen. May the gift of the Holy Spirit, which passes all understanding, sustain our hearts and minds with the ascended Lord Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, when you filled the disciples with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified. Likewise, please fill our congregation, our synod, and the whole Christian church on earth with the Holy Spirit. Renew us, that the sacraments may be administered faithfully, and that many more would be called by the gospel, enlightened with your gifts, sanctified and kept in the true faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all comfort and peace, give to the world that peace which only you can give. Deliver Christians from the hands of persecution. Restore peace to lands ravaged by war. And grant safety to refugees. Bring peace to our own nation. In the face of the threat of terrorism, let us find peace in you and your unchanging promises. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, look with favor upon those who serve out their vocation in the armed forces and protecting us at home. Protect them from all harm and danger. Keep them ever grounded in faith and Christ's unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, please look with compassion upon those who are sick, hurting, facing surgery, or downtrodden because of the pandemic. Visit them in their distress. Grant them relief from pain, and let them ever fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.